thought, what would be better than to use my 34 years in the veterinary industry than to help you guys, the pet owner? What are your questions? What do you need to know? What would you like to know? I want to create a completely interactive podcast where you, the listener, can ask your questions and we will answer them. I will have industry-leading professionals come in and have conversations about your very questions. What keeps you up at night? What worries you about your pet? What worries you about the cost of taking care of your animal? There's so many things that we can talk about, but I need you to tell me what we need to come up with. Because if you do that, we can have a great, great, great session.
So how's it going? Good? No, that's good to hear.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Irreplaceable Tales. I'm Dr. G. I am, my guest today is the next Dr. G. He's a third-year vet student. And we're here to answer your questions and all the concerns you have about your furry companion. As far as things go right now, unfortunately, we cannot make any diagnosis on this program because we do not have a client-patient relationship. But what we're here to do is we're here to educate you, try to make your veterinary visits easier, try to get you educated for when you get in there so you can have better questions to ask. So with much ado, welcome, Garth.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm really excited for something about this because we're all pet owners, you know, and at one point we didn't have the education, more so the one that I'm getting or the one that you've gotten, and you continue to learn every day. So it's amazing to be able to translate what we learn, how we learn, and make it digestible for you guys because it's super important as pet parents to learn these things.
Absolutely. And of course, we have Mallory here today. She was my licensed veterinary technician of 20 years that's now enjoying making this type of content for you, the listener. So Mallory, what is your first question for us?
First question I have for you guys, we're going to play a little game like we like to do, and it's going to be ER or overreaction. Okay?
Sounds good.
My cat hasn't peed all day. Emergency or overreaction?
What is the sex of the cat?
All right. Are we allowed to ask questions?
Yeah, you can ask questions. My male cat has not peed all day. Emergency or overreaction?
Emergency.
Yep.
Emergency.
I will.
Emergency.
Okay, I'll follow that. Yeah, we'll suspect block. We'll suspect blocked.
So it's very common for male cats to block. It's because the opening of their penis is very small, and it doesn't take a lot for something to get lodged in there. So if you notice your male cat is going in and out of the litter box often, vocalizing while they're in the litter box, or very little bit coming out while they're going in the litter box, that's a sign of a problem. It used to be called feline lower urinary tract disorder. I don't know the name they have for it now, but it is a life-threatening emergency. When they cannot pee, all that back pressure goes to the kidneys, and they will go into acute kidney failure. One of the worst cases I had was a blocked Tom that came in at 6:30 at night, and the owner came home from work and saw that, you know, her cat was flat. The cat's potassium was 10. And the problem with acute renal failure, or where your kidneys get attacked really quickly, is that your potassium goes through the roof. And high potassium slows down the heart, and it can slow it down so much that it stops.
Yeah, and we still use fluted. We still say fluted cats.
Feline lower urinary tract disorder.
What about female cats? As big of an emergency? Are you as worried?
Well, in 20, let's see, in 34 years,
how many have you seen?
I've had one blocked female anything, right, and it was a miniature schnauzer.
All right. What about my dog ate an entire stick of butter? Emergency or overreaction?
Oof, incoming pancreatitis, or what are we thinking here?
It's going to be an emergency the next day when the pancreas is pissed, but right, in the moment.
At the moment, no. Yeah. You never know. You know, obviously, what the word you heard, pancreatitis, it just means inflammation of the pancreas. There's many, many different things that can cause it. Usually the biggest cause is from low-grade inflammation already going on in the intestinal tract. But right now, that high fat overload that your animal just took in can cause the pancreas a huge issue. So be prepared for vomiting, diarrhea. Watch appetite and activity level very closely. Another thing is also with most of these things, like ingestion, it also goes to amount ingested versus size of animal.
Right.
And by weight. Mm-hmm. So there's usually like a formula, but a stick of butter is a stick of butter is a stick of butter. Even if I don't know about you, but if I had a stick of butter, I'd probably have to go, you know, at least get a nitroglycerin patch. I don't take enough baby aspirin to prevent that from happening.
Get a pre-med you.
Yeah.
My dog sneezed 3 times in a row with no discharge. Emergency or overreaction?
Overreaction.
No discharge?
No discharge.
Just continue to watch.
Okay.
Hey, if you're picking, there's only one or two options here. It's overreaction or ER. You can't pick middle ground.
Yeah, what? No, he's trying to go in the middle.
I'll go in the middle every time.
My cat is randomly zooming around the house all night like a maniac. Emergency or overreaction?
Ooh. Age of cat?
Yeah.
Let's go kitten.
Oh, kitten?
Kittens are nocturnal. You get the Indy 0500s often.
They don't know what time of day it is.
They sleep all day, especially when you're at work. And guess what? When you come home, kittens are ready to play, and they're ready to play until about 4 a.m. Mm-hmm.
What about a older cat? Let's say 10 years plus. Would you be concerned that they're doing that?
Just running around
normal?
Crazy?
Like, yeah,
just running
around crazy. That?
Abnormal behavior for them.
Oh, so this is an abnormal?
It all depends. At that point, the first question I would ask, is there any chance your cat could have gotten into any of your medication?
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's good. Okay. All right, so the next one, we're going to go into round two here, and it's going to be wait, that's true. So these are going to be weird facts that I want you guys to either say true or false to.
Well, I bet you wouldn't get them wrong.
This is not going to be good. You have 34 years on me.
I know.
Just read his face. Let's see how it goes. Dogs can smell human emotions. True or false?
True.
True. And actually, that's one of the ways that they train service animals for PTSD and for other issues such as seizures, epilepsy. They read your emotions well. There is I'm on the board of Atlas Dog Training, which is training your own animal how to be a service dog. And it's the most incredible thing with the PTSD dogs is that they know the pressure points to stop the anxiety.
Mm. Oh, wow.
But they're able to see it. And the craziest one they're coming out with, which is going to take a lot of training, and I don't know if Atlas Dogs can get involved, is they're coming out with food allergy for people.
Mm. Oh,
the
wow.
dogs are going to be able to sniff the food and see if there's an allergen that the owner has inside of it.
Do you know, this is kind of off, do you know if it's going to be a single allergen or can they be trained for multiple allergens?
That's so early on. I don't know, but it's a 5-year training.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Theoretically, I feel like if you can train them to do one thing,
you should be able, just like there's
different bomb dogs, there's drug dogs. They're not just smelling for one drug.
One drug or one bomb.
There's probably a lot of different ones, but I will say I have seen those dogs that are able to elicit when, like in a movement toward their owner, when there's like low blood sugar levels in diabetics.
Right.
So they have those, which is amazing. They could smell in your blood.
They could smell, it's in your breath.
I mean, your breath, sorry. Yeah. Not in your blood. And that would be amazing if they could in blood.
They bite your arm and smell your blood. It's just like getting your finger pricked.
Except it has a nice little fluffy tail at the end.
Yeah.
All right. What about this? I guess this is a weird fact that's out there. Cats have 9 lives. How do you feel about that?
I've seen some cats have some really good luck. Yeah. I've also seen cats have really bad luck.
Right.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean,
I think their survival instincts are on point, right? So is that what gives?
Well, you got to be careful though. Like, when we've said this before. If you have a cat, keep it indoors.
Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't want to meet that car friend. It doesn't want to meet that big dog friend. It doesn't want to meet that other cat friend. It doesn't want to meet the coyote friend, the wolf friend, the raccoon friend.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, keep your cat indoors. An indoor cat is healthy for decades.
And you're able to monitor it more too. I mean, that's the biggest thing. There's a reason why there's TNR programs, which are trap, neuter, release. If these types of cats were supposed to be outside, there wouldn't be all these organizations that are working so diligently to take them off of the streets, basically. So it's unfortunate for a lot of bird populations, a lot of, you know, a different pain elicited from other animals, like you said, raccoons. There's other predators out there too, so it's definitely important.
This one's a little bit more fun. A goldfish's memory only lasts 3 seconds. True or false? I know you guys see a lot of goldfishes.
Goldfish's so, memory? I haven't asked a lot of goldfish.
That sounds like a national board exam question, doesn't it? Actually, I fish in general have a pretty good memory. I've always wanted to do a study, like when you go fishing and you mm-hmm. actually catch and release.
Yeah.
Well, that fish know not to go back to that lure. But I would say that's false because that's pretty short.
What do you think? Are you going with false?
I'll go with false, too.
All right, so I actually have that it's false, and they remember things for months.
Wow.
Months.
Did they do a survey?
No, they probably... right? That's such a cool study.
I need one cool bubble study. If you remember this. Two bubbles if you did it.
It's going to be a board exam question for me.
Yeah.
A dog's mouth is cleaner than a human's mouth.
False.
Yeah, I've seen some pretty nasty dog mouths.
I'm thinking to that, like, never had a dental.
That 16-year-old chihuahua who's never had his teeth cleaned.
Where you don't even have to extract them, they just fall out.
You remove the tartar. They have the tartar grill.
You know how the raptors have their grill?
That is amazing how it, the body does that.
Yeah, the tartar just builds a grill. I would have to say false.
False, yeah, you're right. It is false. Last one we have for this round is going to be, if a turtle loses its shell, it can grow a new one. True or false?
That's false.
Unfortunately... a lot of damage to turtles, to their shells, leads in euthanasia.
Mm-hmm.
I was blessed enough. There was a wild slider that Animal Control brought in, and I didn't want to euthanize, and it was just kind of cracked. So I went to the hardware store, and I got a little liquid cement.
You literally went to Home Depot. You were like, I'm going to Home Depot. I'll be right back. And I was like, what?
And I got a bracket. I got very small screws. Yeah. And we anesthetized the turtle. I put the shell back in shape. And then, of course, we couldn't really release the turtle back into the wild. So that turtle was now part of the Canyon Turtle Club.
Clinic Turtle.
We had five turtles that were all named after divas. Mm-hmm. We had Madonna, Rihanna.
Lady Gaga.
Katy Perry.
Wow.
And?
One other one.
Was it Christina?
No, was it Beyonce?
It might have been. Yes, there
you
go.
Yeah, it was Beyonce. And we're not putting any of them down.
No.
But they were our divas.
They were our divas.
Yeah.
I love that.
All right, so now we're going to go into vet bill roulette.
Oh.
So I want you guys.
This is dangerous.
The cost of care talk.
Yeah.
Which is very, very difficult to have as a veterinarian, as an owner, because we both want the same outcome. We just want the animal to be healthy and happy.
Mm-hmm.
So this should be interesting.
X-ray for a limping dog. What do you think the average cost is right now? Let's go with TrueView, just so we're not.
The new California laws or not?
No, TrueView X-ray. What's the common cost right now? Or what do you think the range is?
$450.
I'd say $320 to $400.
This says $150 to $300.
It's definitely not $150.
Not in California.
Definitely not $150.
And now California, unfortunately, has a law that all dogs need to be sedated before x-rays to limit the amount of human exposure to radiographs. That actually scares the heck out of me. I don't know how you would feel about it.
I don't love that.
I was not aware of that. So
So you just got to be careful, because what if that animal has congestive heart failure and you sedate it? You can lose that patient.
Well, I mean,
right there.
Let's say you're taking chest x-rays for a reason, right? I mean,
before an operation or anything you're going to do. You're going to force that blood work to come back.
And ADR. Like, you never know what's going to pop on a chest x-ray.
Now, some dogs do though. Your pets probably would need to be sedated if you have that year-and-a-half-old lab that loves everybody and doesn't know how to sit still. If you want to spend $150 to $300 or like $450 out here in California and have them be completely undiagnostic, then we can do that. But if you want to make sure that x-ray is clean, crisp, and has all the right angles, then sedation will probably be needed.
What do you think an emergency C-section for a pregnant... Oh, these prices are awful. What do you think your emergency C-section for a pregnant dog would be? What do you think your range is?
I know there's a clinic out in Riverside that used to do them for $120.
Holy jeez.
Don't drop their name.
Yeah, I'm that's not terrifying. That's absolutely terrifying.
That sounds awful.
Yeah.
But I would say... emergency C-section general practice, $1,500 to $2,500.
I was going to start at $1,500.
Yeah.
Emergency C-section overnight emergency,
$5,000.
$5,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. Easy. The range on here was $15 to $4. So I could see 14 being GP mm-hmm. and then upwards of the four being at,
yeah.
at a specialty clinic because with overnight.
My first day in veterinary medicine was actually amazing. It was a French bulldog C-section. I had no experience really with small animals. It was all with horses. And I went in and did a working shift with her, shadowing, and French bulldog came in. And I remember seeing the bill after, and it was definitely not $1,500. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the one thing that you have to realize as a pet owner, if it is a C-section, is that you need someone to run anesthesia, mm-hmm. someone to do the C-section, yeah. one someone to monitor the dog while it's under anesthesia. Mm-hmm. And then if you have six puppies, you need six people recovering puppies that are coming out of anesthesia.
And the reality of it is you don't have six people doing that, unfortunately.
Right. So, but it is a lot of manpower. Yeah. Especially woman power, people power.
And then emergency, though, too. Like, that's also what makes it even more difficult. And I think that's also why the cost goes up, too.
Right.
Is because you are not prepared for that.
Right.
And you have other appointments going on, too. And, of course, precedent takes over for the most critical, but...
Rule of thumb is to make sure you do x-rays on your dog at day 55. Mm-hmm. Just kind of see where the head size is versus the birth canal. If you have a Frenchie, a pug, a Boston Terrier, a Bulldog, even a Mastiff, those dogs that won the 50-yard dash in the 40-yard gym, basically, good chance they're going to need a C-section.
Well, have you ever had a French Bulldog deliver?
Yes, we have.
Wow, I thought that couldn't happen.
But also too with C-sections, also the size of the litter, right? I mean, mm-hmm. we've had that Roddy Shepherd mix that delivered 16 puppies. Well, delivered 13 by itself and then was like full dystocia, couldn't do anything else. And we ended up having to do C-sections.
Because the uterus gets
three.
Exhausted mm-hmm. just like the dog does.
It's not contracting anymore.
Right. And then also then you got to worry about calcium and blood sugar and mm-hmm. all those other things that come into play. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you could have the lab that's going to have no problem passing the puppies, but mm-hmm. if there's 13 of them in there, there's a good chance 10 make it.
Right.
Out. The three will have to be removed. Now, also, another thing is if your dog is having puppies at home, make sure you count every single placenta that comes out with puppies. Those numbers have to equal. If there are any placentas that are still in the uterus called retained placentas, mm-hmm. that will cause an infected uterus called a pyometra, and that is a life-threatening emergency as well.
Yep.
Recommendation is if you're going to do breeding, make sure you do it by the book. Make mm-hmm. sure you do it with your veterinarian. Make sure that everything is the way it should be. If it's an oops, make sure you tell your veterinarian, make sure you find out their protocol, and also try to make sure that you know where the emergency clinics are, their hours, and your general practice and what their hours are, because don't call them at 4 p.m. saying my dog has been in labor for 6 hours and now nothing's happening.
Right.
We want to know immediately when that dog goes into labor, so at least we're prepared that there might be an emergency.
Yeah. That goes back to communication. I think that's well said. I think if you have that beautiful relationship with your veterinary professionals, it makes it a whole lot easier for everybody, and you know, the trust is there too, so...
What do you guys think it costs to treat a chocolate ingestion? Let's just say to induce vomiting.
Okay.
We're not going to go into like the full hospitalization, any of that, just to induce vomiting.
With the office call?
Yeah.
General practice, 4 to 5, emergency clinic, $800 to $1,200?
I have 5 to 2,000. 500 to 2,000.
That's rough. Yeah. I can get behind that.
Roughly.
Yeah.
All right, just so people are kind of aware of what they're getting into in these emergency situations, right?
I mean, we should just reinforce why pet insurance is such a big thing.
Care credit. There's a couple other ones that are out now, too, that really kind
of
can help you through this. This next round is going to be called What the Fluff.
What the Fluff.
So you guys get to guess the strange pet behavior. Why do dogs kick their legs when you scratch their belly?
A reflex.
I know that. Do you think it's a reflex? Actually, I think it's due to them being itchy from allergies. Mm. If you scratch your dog at the base of the tail and it mm-hmm. kind of loses its back legs and it's loving it, that's a flea allergy. Mm. If you're scratching your dog's belly, that's usually because there's been interleukin 31 released. Interleukin 31 is a hormone that's released by the body when all the environmental allergens make it through the microscopic cracks in the skin. Mm. We will have a huge discussion on allergies. Yes. I hope to have Dr. Rosenkrantz here. Mm-hmm. He's the godfather of veterinary dermatology. He loves to talk too. So we are going to hit allergies, and we are going to hit ear infections, and we are going to hit the idea of fleas and everything else.
Nutrition, diets. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. But we can't do that one now. That's probably going to be a three-part series.